As you know, these days the church season of Advent aligns with the cultural season of shopping. A woman was waiting in the checkout line at a shopping center, among other things, her arms were laden with a mop and broom and other cleaning supplies. By her actions and deep sighs, it was obvious that she was in a hurry and not happy about the slowness of the line. She finally made it to the cashier, but when one of her items wouldn't scan correctly, the woman said indignantly, "Well, I'll be lucky to get home by Christmas." "Don't worry, ma'am," replied the clerk. "With that wind kicking up outside and that brand new broom you have there, you'll be home in no time." Waiting. Waiting can be so frustrating sometimes. We feel like we spend so much of our lives waiting, and now here we are again, waiting, waiting, waiting. Well, we have choices to do, choices of what we do while we wait. We can stand in line and give those annoyed sighs. We can, in a line, talk with somebody else, or we can read the fun headlines like "Jennifer Aniston delivers extraterrestrial baby." I made that one up. But I think they make all the others up too, so. If we're waiting for help on the phone, we can stare blankly as we hear the company's advertising. Or we could even choose to engage our minds and bodies with desk-side calisthenics. Right, 2, 3, 4. Left, 2, 3, 4. We choose, I don't do that, but we choose what we do while we wait. Because often it seems like a waste of time. We want to be doing something while we wait. The Apostle Paul had gotten word that his friends in Corinth weren't making really good choices about what they did while they were waiting. Now, we won't get into all that because Paul doesn't get into all that in our section of Scripture today, but in the rest of the letter, it gets a little scathing. But anyway, they weren't doing what they needed to be doing while they waited. Along with other first century Christians, this book was probably written around 50, 60 A.D., the church at Corinth was waiting for the return of their king, the one to whom they had devoted themselves, Jesus, whom they called Christ or Messiah. They are the Greek and Hebrew terms which mean anointed one, anointed one. Oral tradition reported to the Corinthians that Jesus would come back before they had fallen asleep, it said, or before they had died. So they had been expecting to see him any day. Life was hard for them, and they were awaiting Jesus' deliverance from the difficulties of oppressive Roman rule. And yet, so far, Jesus was tarrying. Now, at your house, if someone is due to arrive in 15 minutes, you probably don't get out the shoebox full of photographs and start organizing that photo album you've been meaning to do for years. If someone is arriving in 15 minutes, you either keep things in order, or if you're like me, you put them in order. If no one's due for several days, though, you might allow a little bit more clutter. The Corinthians were hoping that Jesus would come soon, but as their waiting extended into months and years, the Christian community had gotten sloppy. Paul is writing then to straighten up, so to speak, his friends, to reorganize them while they continue waiting. At the beginning of this letter, Paul puts the emphasis not on what they do while they wait. He gets into that later. But on who they are while they wait. As Paul expresses his thankfulness to God for these friends and co-workers, he writes to them, "In every way you have been enriched in Christ Jesus, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." The yous here are plural, so listen to them as they speak not just to the Corinthians, but to you. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was true for the Corinthian church, but is it true for churches today? Is it true for Calvary Baptist Church? I don't just mean the members, but all who are interested in Calvary's faithfulness to God. Could it be then that our unique combination of spiritual gifts is exactly what God needs on this corner in Roanoke, Virginia, USA? Well, it's a pretty exciting prospect to think about. It's also, of course, somewhat daunting because it means that God wants us to be involved, wants each of us to be involved and using our gifts with each other to strengthen the whole body of Christ, but not just the Church of Christ, but all those around here. Remember that witch in the introductory story? Who we are while we wait is just as important as what we do while we wait. Throughout this letter to the Corinthians, Paul is trying to adjust their perspective on who they are while they wait. Our perspectives shift over time. We do not think about things the same way now as we did 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe even last year. We are different today than we were last Advent season. We will hear things differently. We've had different experiences. And so we can receive Jesus Christ in a new way as well. Our perspectives shift. A few weeks ago, some of this church's leaders were talking about how the congregation, this congregation, changed its perspective and policies several decades ago. One thing was to invite women to serve alongside the men as deacons. This Baptist church also voted to recognize forms of baptism other than immersion, to say that those are meaningful. If they were meaningful for you, we recognize that as a clear form of baptism that also can engage you with this church as a member. You do not have to be immersed. Well, those were shifts in perspective that most of the congregation was willing to make. Now, in both of those cases, a few people left because they weren't willing to shift. But we all do somehow. Years ago, before fathers were allowed in delivery rooms, a young father-to-be was nervously pacing back and forth in that waiting room, wringing his hands while his wife was in labor. Finally, a nurse opened the door and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." And he heaved a sigh of relief and said, "Thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the agony I've been through tonight." Well, can you imagine the little talk they had if he said that to his wife? Probably that would have enabled a shift in Daddy's perspective. In another example, while speaking in London, evangelist D.L. Moody was approached by a British companion who wanted to know the secret, Moody's secret, of how he had led so many people to Christ. Moody directed the man to his hotel window and asked him, "What do you see?" The man looked down on the square and reported a view of crowded streets. Moody said, Look again. What do you see? This time, the man mentioned seeing people, men, women, and children. Moody then directed him to look a third time, and the man became frustrated that he was not seeing what Moody wanted him to see. And so the great evangelist walked over to the window with watery eyes and said, "I see people going to hell without Jesus." Until you see people like that, you will not lead them to Christ. What do we see while we wait in 5 o'clock traffic? What do we see while we wait for our order in a busy restaurant, a crowded waiting room, our neighborhoods, our extended families? What do we see? When we look at other people, do we simply see problems? Or do we see possibilities for using our spiritual gifts to make life meaningful for them? It's a shift in perspective. Today's Bible passage speaks of the ability and power of God to sustain us in everything. During our waiting, during our joys, during our grief, and even through our shifts in perspective. Our passage started out with Paul offering grace and peace to the Corinthians. Well, this grace and peace of God continued to sustain us and encourage us and guide us to use the gifts with which God, or the gifts which God has bestowed upon us. I read another story recently which I thought well described God's sustenance. This was written by a hospice physician in Denver, and I'll just read it to you in first person as it came to me. I was driving home from a meeting this evening about 5, stuck in traffic on Colorado Boulevard, and my car started to choke and splutter and die. I barely managed to coast, cursing, into a gas station, glad only that I would not be blocking traffic and would have a somewhat warm spot to wait for the tow truck. Before I could make the call, I saw a woman walking out of the Quickie Mart building, and it looked like she slipped on some ice and fell into a gas pump, so I got out to see if she was okay. When I got there, it looked more like she had been overcome by sobs than that she had fallen. She was a young woman who looked really haggard with dark circles under her eyes. She dropped something as I helped her up, and I picked it up to give it to her. It was a nickel. At that moment, everything came into focus for me. The crying woman, the ancient Suburban crammed full of stuff with 3 kids in the back, 1 in a car seat, and the gas pump reading $4.95. I asked her if she was okay and if she needed help, and she just kept saying, "I don't want my kids to see me crying." So we stood on the other side of the pump from her car. She said she was driving to California and that things were very hard for her right now. So I asked, "And you were praying?" That made her back away from me a little, but I assured her I was not a crazy person and said, "God heard you and sent me." I took out my card and swiped it through the card reader on the pump so she could fill up her car completely. And while it was fueling, walked to the next door McDonald's and bought 2 big bags of food, some gift certificates for more, and a big cup of coffee. She gave the food to the kids in the car who attacked it like wolves, and we stood by the pump eating fries and talking a little. She told me her name and that she lived in Kansas City. Her boyfriend had left 2 months ago and she had not been able to make ends meet. She knew she wouldn't have money to pay rent by January 1st, and finally, in desperation, she called her parents, with whom she had not spoken in about 5 years. They lived in California and said she could come live with them and try to get on her feet there. So she packed up everything she owned in the car. She told the kids they were going to California for Christmas, but not that they were going to live there. I gave her my gloves, a little hug, and said a quick prayer with her for safety on the road. As I was walking over to my car, she said, "So, are you like an angel or something?" Well, this made me cry, and I said through my tears, "Sweetie, at this time of year, angels are really busy, so sometimes God uses regular people." Then she reflects on the physician, he or she, reflects on the situation and says, "It was so incredible to be a part of someone else's miracle." And of course, you guessed it, when I got in my car, it started right away and got me home with no problem. I'll put it in the shop tomorrow to check, but I suspect the mechanic won't find anything wrong. And as a final reflection, the writer points to Psalm 55:22, a good reminder for us: cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. As we celebrated Thanksgiving 3 days ago, we were reminded that God already gives us more than we could have imagined we would have last year at this time. When we are faithful in using what we have been given, God gives us even more. Knowledge is ours, and it increases. Strength is ours to endure to the end. Sustenance for every need is ours. The call of God into partnership with Christ Jesus is ours. As we too await his return, or whatever manner it will be that we join Jesus, as we wait in line at the store, in traffic, on the phone, or even walking behind someone who moves more slowly than we do, we choose what to do while we wait. We choose who we will be while we wait. With God's blessing and strength and sustenance, we can become our best selves. We even wait for that, but let us do so with the encouragement and the strength of Jesus Christ. May we pray together. It is a season of hope, O Lord. Guide us as we hope in you, not in other people, not in ourselves, not in all the potential Christmas gifts we could receive. Let us put our hope in you, the one who strengthens us to the end. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.